Hello again. This is Mystic Babylon Open Mic Poetry Podcast, broadcasting from near the Hate in San Francisco. Today we're having two poets besides me. They are James Frame and J.R. Jimmy Hammond. James Frame grew up in Sonoma, California, lived in San Francisco most of his adult life, and was a combat medic in the Vietnam War. He was influenced by the Beat Poets and Robinson Jeffers as a young man. He remembers reading in open mics way back in the 70s in North Beach and in the Hate at the Blue Unicorn. The 70s doesn't sound that far back, but I guess to this generation it is. J.R. Jimmy Hammond is a big fixture in the San Francisco open mics and was a district winner in the Poets 11 contest in San Francisco, which is to a large extent run by the poet laureate of San Francisco, Jack Hirschman. He was influenced by Bukowski. These two poets I connected up with at the 3300 Club at 30th and Mission. I will, as usual, read three of my poems from my book, Spirits of Bondage and Inherent Transcendence. The poetry segment will start shortly. This is John Rhodes again. My first poem will be called On No Account Do Hucksters Take a Vacation. In this poem, I puzzle over a memory about a teacher who I still wonder whether he was a huckster or not. I hesitate in calling teachers hucksters, but it seems that even teachers can offer you knowledge, pretending that it is the most important thing you'll ever learn, but none of that knowledge that they teach will you ever find any really use for. Here is the poem. Some people celebrate their vacation as if on top of Mount Olympus, playing at the game of cloud, putting their authority and sway strutting about. Others follow the wantonness and ecstasy of the crowd, be as it may, unconsciously carrying on their collective airs that no god is acquainted with or grasps, nor do these prophecies or epithets see the light of day. Is there liberty in pleasing oneself when one is fettered and bound to desire? Does the judge strike down the lamenting dreamer as if gratuitous and guilty of indefinite motives? The huckster has pride in his excess, but he never takes a vacation from his taunting and jesting at your stumbling and stuttering. You mumble defeat and try to be humbler than him. The shyster takes leave of logic and takes a vacation from jurisprudence every time he is in court. The weak can have success in trying, even when with minimal backing they can't stop crying, as the devil digs at their innocent past, where he shouldn't be prying and attacking. One knows one can take a vacation when one finds at least meager integrity or foundation. Why must suicide take a vacation from reason? I guess because suicide in its season denies the reliability of the structure of the mind as if it is a faulty mechanism, or is it like resignation at a time when the dawn should be celebrated? People are rarely fully successful at vigorous pleasure when, if you pause in delight, being a joker, you will end up mediocre. You will lose what was endowed to you and doled out to you in careful measure. The struggling masses struggle, but is it not ignominy they fight? But don't they meagerly celebrate as others are sold out? Candy-coated pleasure seems like real leisure, but in it the spirit is shallow, and there are no deep relations to treasure. Thank you. My second poem is called Puppets Can't Jump, after the similar movie title. No matter what culture you're from, you always can have your mind and soul sequestered and kidnapped by people trying to tell you how high you can jump, and neither a pawn nor a puppet can physically jump. It is possible, at least, in the way a person jumps. Here is the poem. All my life I have kept a silent fate, but meanwhile though, and after a long time, I have slowly begun to feel like a puppet in the evil silence of time's pantomime. I've really wanted to speak my mind, but God laughing with the facade of humor is all I find. Something is wrong with my master, whether he is God or a miser, he lets the thought of me slip through his mind all the faster. It is this slipping that makes me want to break my childlike vow of silence, but if I talk, things might really come down on my puppet-like life faster, and might lead to violence or disaster. I feel fenced in with my emotions like cows in a soberly silent field who are feeling disturbed and are about to jump the fence. I see them mooing uneasily and about to jump that fence. They are mooing under their breath because they want to report that life is too short to be fenced in and at the same time feel out of sorts. Thank you. My last poem is called My Love the Monolith. This is just a simple poem about love. I mention in the poem the sad comparison of those obsessed with the moon who are called lunatics and the lover who is also equally obsessed with it. Here is the poem. When I look upon your body and soul, I feel like a harlequin who found a barrel of barley that improved his social role and a bottle of gin that didn't contain a single sin. Some, when they take love, act like they have stolen a satin or velvet robe because they feel they haven't paid for love or gone through tribulations like the prophet Job. I feel deficient in my soul, but my pen flies and makes me feel whole when I literally express what I shared with my beloved in a unified role. I wouldn't show my truths to those who would stare at me vacantly as if I was bare and uncouth, and amazed that you consider and appreciate me so succinctly as you look through my soul, me being naked to the world without being aloof. Sometimes I feel like a lunatic who hovers and glares at people as if from above, but I many times think and believe that everybody knows that the moon is a dwelling place of love, where the locals aren't called lunatics and instead worship the dove. Can true love exist in Rome? Don't the eyes of priests wander in Rome when they look at you underneath the church's dome? Is it that I appear weak and flimsy, but isn't it that I am when I am beside you, ethereally and spiritually strong? I know that you've known that I have tried hard, and I'm not more than an nth degree wrong. People can test our nesting, but I know that whatever is encompassed by our humble love is not detesting.
This is J.B. Frame, and I'm going to start with a poem called The Goddess of Liberty. The light through the window goes into my darkened daylight room, and I glance across the street to see a landscape tree in front of the hospital that disrupts the real estate values. Thinking it's good to live in relative liberty, I am unable to quit my job. No grim steel in our streets and urban meadows. No plaster goddess stands in our square. No splashes of paint on massive portraits. No lynched soldiers hanging from lampposts. No young women crushed like insects. I am unable to quit my job. The bronze colossus stands on a small island in the harbor. She stares out to sea with the indifferent gaze of an Argentine sun. She lifts her light, and we sigh and hearts swell, but elsewhere a stadium is crowded and no game is in progress. Naval task force maneuvers off coast. Helicopters buzz overhead. Mentally unstable leftist elements in neighboring countries go off the deep end, and everyone is just a little bit crazier. Plaster goddess dismantled by police, symbolic. Bronze goddess may stand for another century. Symbolic? 2, 4, 6, 8, organize and smash the state. I am unable to quit my job. I am grateful to the bronze goddess. She has made it possible for me to be overweight in a starving world. This is no time for sarcasm. I must not give way to bitterness. I must not quit my job. The next poem is Gridlock, 1991. I seem to be a camera caught behind a windshield like a bug in a jar. I look at my hands and what I can see of my body. What is this existence on this hot morning? I cannot answer that question. Not so much victorious as well-equipped, not so much honest as in control. The national will prevails according to the realities. Once again, young men go off in response to the great adventure. Heroic candidates, alive and muscular, so many bags of blood loaded into large aircraft, fitting into the fuselage like so many rounds in a magazine. Adrenaline television is raping history with the memory hole at hand. to be erased by a sad historian taped over by the chronicle of an endangered species deemed most significant in the grand scheme. I want to sail out of this jam like a toy balloon, impressing myself with feats of amazing circus-like freedom and elephant dancing, throttle in a land where the air is bought and sold. I find myself contemplating an era wherein the only hope is wealth beyond compare. Is it too ridiculous to ask where the love is gone? The patriarchs are rising from their dust bins, seeking vengeance. History has no end while minds are still being told how to breathe. Talk is cheap, my mother used to say, but the suffering continues, and not all of them are tuned in. It is time for a message from my sponsor. This one is called Pacific Ocean Vista. The land falls broken at the edge of a continent where the ocean works its will, churning rock and soil to sand. At the edge of the water, true turbulence is manifested in the froth and bubble of everlasting metamorphosis. Here the creatures of transition, part plant, part animal, survive and flourish. The wind courses over all, playing with the waves, transforming the dunes. Trees gain their only kinetic activity in the moving, massive air. Sunlight works a magic, moving my vision to miraculous sights while causing the persistent growth of all that is green. At night, the moon reflects this same light, causing lovers to gasp and dogs to sing the vast and fearful beauty. This is a poem about depression called Black Dog. Shouting thoughts that will not be heard, mostly after the sun sets, demons of benign pretense, thoughts best left still exist, all the best intentions lost in the juggernaut of events, no possible way out, all resistance melts, for there is no father to still the horror, no rabbi here to speak the magic word that will stop the golem, no god to say let there be light, it just goes on and on. This one is called On Time. On time at 2:30. No wonder I'm drawing little houses in the margins. After a while, the wood begins to make people look like they're in a Norman Rockwell painting. On Good Friday evening, they watched Christ, played by a European actor, crucified on the television. John Wayne was a Roman soldier. Surely this man is the Son of God, he said. The reception is not good enough to show the expression on his face. Umahoktali, chanting in a quavering voice, in a language unknown to me, Sachem adjusts necktie and finally abandons attempt to conceal tears. People around him wipe eyes and touch each other's shoulders with gentle fingertips. Young men and women, suddenly more holy than yesterday, are standing solemnly. Old people close their eyes and remember the stories they heard as tiny children. A white man from the museum who has brought the pole back to them after so many years stands with a red blanket over his shoulders in the heat, beatified. Elders bring a forked stick. The Umahoktali is placed aslant for all to come and touch. At last, after so many years, in a reservation many walks from the old hunting ground. And this next is a called Municipal Cemetery. We children played in the old graveyard, shaded by mossy oaks in summer, humming with insects while the dead lay entombed in lichen-spangled mausoleums bearing unknown names carved in formal calligraphy. Dazzled with the colors of myriad wings, lyricless songs of finches and robins, the shrieks of hawks, clatter of crows, we celebrated the sun-blasted afternoons while the town napped in the heat and grown-ups earned. Living among derelict tombstones, decorated with weird willows and sad angels, flung down by vandals in the night, the largest oak, with branches thicker than we were tall, served as our plaything and solace. Once alone I spoke to her. In bare, wet-frosted winter, ghosts seemed more at home, with skies the shade of steel and clouds of mist with every living breath. But the town paid men to clear the undergrowth, God knows what they found, and set the stones right. Our world was transformed into a pebbled park, where airmen from the base, wearing chromed helmets, formed, played taps, and gestured with artificial rifles on Memorial Day, while flags rustled like branches. I mean to visit again sometime to view it as changed. Maybe that old oak is still there. The new animal. They come from miles around to see the new animal. Outside the vast habitat is a variegated throng armed with digital cameras and cotton candy. The new animal is napping, and people are getting bored. Its mate saunters out from the cave in the back, and we're getting excited now. The new animal awakens now, sniffs the air, and moves its head. It's looking around now. It sees the throng. This is exciting. It's looking at me. And the last poem is Fish Prayer. O creel, wicker womb, lined with freshly killed grass, be my tomb now, for I am out of water.
Hello, this is J.R. Jimmy Hammond from San Francisco on the day before Gandhi's birthday, which is October 2nd. So I've got some poems that hopefully will be reminiscent of the philosophy of Mahatma Gandhi. And here's the first one. I hope these remind you of the great one and brighten your day. This was called New Blood. Is the color green your existential scene? Allegiance to the planet just enough for you? Or does all your loyalty go to the good old red, white, and blue? Well, if red is for the duped dead who bled all over the burning sand, and white is for the voracious, overfed members of the ruling clan, blue is for the strange fruit that ripens through the deep, dark night and falls as endless fire and fright upon the children of the universal light. So are you loyal to our leader, who blew up all your dreams, who answers every question with nothing like it seems, while half the world he's after wakes up screaming from their dreams? If so, what the world needs now is some new blood, because this is the age of tainted information, and this is the age of the unfinished public tale. This is the age of incomplete characterization of dogs and gods and men all lost on the trail to misbegotten meccas at the end of erroneous quests, raising funds via idealistic promises given in various jests. Because this is the age of incompetent confirmation of events that never were meant to be brought to public attention and certainly weren't heaven sent. This is the age of spinning doctors telling us all it's okay to get bent by characters even they lament the board of directors mistakenly caused to be sent, causing the fabric of tension between strife and romance to be surrealistically rent. So this is the time for new blood. This is the call for the next generation. This is the pulse that pulls man, woman, and child to the new age. This is the day for the new resolution. This is the hour of the promise fulfilled. This is the moment of Gaia stepping up, finally speaking so even the elders will know. This is the time of the bliss of seeing a newborn's first smile. This is the time laughter escapes from the darkened soul, and the moment of recognition that we are all parts of a whole. This is the time for the honest leader. This is the time for the quality fight. This is the time for a forceful meter. And this is the time for remedial light. This is the time for greater exposure. This is the time for full disclosure. And this is the time. Time is on the side of life. This is the time. Life is freedom. This is the time for expression, choice. So this is the time force is superfluous and will not work, because this is the time that what's right is might. Remember, there will be casualties strewn upon the fields of fire, so cry for their departed souls, but do not be sad. Pay them homage, for they were chosen to serve the evolution of mankind in their sad role as the destroyers of ignorance. Nor be angry, for they died for all of us who still carry the evil seed. The flames that burst from their departed souls light the paths we must follow to arrive at future innocence. The job of we who survive is to keep this flame alive as a reminder of a road we travel in common. For this is the pulse of the universe speaking and calling and pulling us up to take a stand. This is the end of love's disappearance. This is the birth of a joyous land. This is the mind of life itself unfolding like a flower growing out of a hand. This is the wave humanity must catch. This is the color of truth that we see. This is the power of hope. Hope's sweet fruition. The realization in the light of the sun, the moon and the stars, and the shade of the trees, that you, me, us, them, all are nothing but we. Om Tat Sat. Thank you. This is a little ditty called Hippity Hoppin'. Hopin', mopin', dopin', tokin', cokin', pokin'. Are we listening to the friction of your diction as you go dissin' and a-pissin' down the puny, punny, bunny trail? We be sitting in the rain all night, mostly wishing you get it over with, all right. All of your words are losing their pop in this relentless distraction of hippity hop. Are you trying to do me like an innocent quail, hippity hopping down your venereal bunny trail? Why don't you just put it all in the mail? It's not that I think that you're crazy, and I know you can't say that I'm lazy, but most of the time your words are so hazy, the ideas that you have never faze me. If this hippity-hop is your slop, none of your thoughts will ever have chops. We're sitting in the rain all night, waiting for Godot again and next year's crop. We'll be just hoping you'll finally stop. Papa, chick, kappa, cop, your message is lost in the spaces between you and all of these faces. You're looking good moving through all of your paces, but to me it's kind of like wearing shoes with no laces. In ball, you can't tell the player without a number. Out here, you can't hear his words because he's kind of a mumbler. It's late. I worked hard all day. You should have heard what they say. Now we got to sit here on our cold butts and decipher what you mean to parlay while you're holding your nuts. Your pretty dances and your rhyming dances don't jump out across all of these fences. Pretty rhythms massaging our senses, but who knows what you meant is. You're leaving empty all of our minds is so we don't get to know just what your kind is. Are you trying to make yourself bigger and riding me like I'm some kind of trigger? You're confusing me, so now I gotta sit up or go figure. Or are you pushing me back at a bus like I'm just some old, can't go there? Well, I ain't dead yet, but your prancing and your dancing is all about romancing, and you lose the moment, when you are a-glancing off the sponges of our brains we hold out for a-chancing at your wisdom. And it's not that we're stupid or that we don't love you playing Cupid. We come here every week. This is your invention. But I just wish you had kept the original intention to create a new, speak clearly, and increase our education. It's mostly just to win a style over substance, which is never enough. And it's not for the truth, but for fame. And that is mostly bluffing. The bottom line of your busting is it's all about your lusting. So the poetry most pounded is a casualty when sounded. The customer listening is really being hounded. This ain't nothing. I know how it goes is. I saw the movie. I know you ain't Moses. But I know what the shows is. The people in the front seats, they get the doses. The peeps in the mid rows, they get the poses. While us clones in the cheap seats, we sit and pick noses. 2006, whole world's doing cheap tricks, and I see you're at home sinking lower from the last time you fixed. Time to get up, cut out these shits, and get to the real mix. I'm not asking that you go off killing. Sometimes I think my gas tank ain't even worth filling. You know I've been drafted, but I dodged it, not to mention the problems here at home where you cannot dislodge it. Look at the substance. We don't need a boaster. That's got to be your own roller coaster. It might be a lass or a lack of ideas, but if that's a toaster in your bathtub, that's just another way to catch a fish, bub. So make a noise, one we can hear. All I'm saying is it's getting pretty weird. What I'm supposed to hear is not going here. Not the end. I'm sure this one ain't finished. Om Tat Sat. All right, hi. Well, that was not a total indictment of rap music. I do find rap music interesting a lot of times. I really like it. That could be Public Enemy or Snoop Dogg and some others that I've heard down around in different places, but mostly it's because they're intelligible, and that's what I like about rap music, when they got something to say. This is another different, completely different type of genre, so we're going back to real poetry. And the title of this one's called When Fish Fly. Thinking about the truth more than doing it, taking pointers from the world of busyness, where they say, make a business plan. Thusly, I'm planning my attack upon them. I may even kiss them to death. The re-evolution only takes a second, but the build-up is interminable. Of course, that's their fault. I, for one, am excused, for I lie here buried in their airtight, should I say soul-tight, brain-tight, heart of the matter. A biscuit, a basket, I'll risk it, I'll task it, buy a ticket to Tashkent for me and my casket to visit the headlines so full of chatter. But I cannot add my James juice to the cacophony going on up there. I am silenced by the 2 yards of unearthly manure between us. Is it a clue for me to be so strangulated and made so impotent by my early burial? To what solution? Then an omen, perhaps, for all of you poetic spirits. For if I were free to espouse my theories back at them, would I not be reduced to their level? A warning, would I not become one of them, oppressing myself by anger, angst, and the desire for the fruition of my dreams? Instead, I am the pregnant moment, allowed out only at night. I dissolve through the soil and slither hissing to the surface of my steaming swamp, like the bubbling of primordial ooze reforming into the towers of knowing. They say I am homo, devised from humus or earth. Our earth mother cries out, sapient, devised from knowing, from all those years of living below the lotus. Thus, homo sapien, human, yes, I am the flicker of light that blows up the shibboleths in their Pompeii. I am the avalanche. I am the fog of soot. I am sulfur gas. I am destiny. I am the resistor, the persister. I think at them from the depths of my pit and I hiss. What you gonna do about it, mister? Wake up your little sister. I am not what got us to here. I am the point of the now. I am the fish that crawls. All the rough drafts and fallacies aside, I am the new blood in the big bath. I have no opinion to throw at you like a spear, no theory to sell you in the new weird order. I am vaguely amorphous, trusting as I do in the force, or the inertia of its wake, that will push us all from here to wherever and whatever there. Those who have hearts shall feel, and those who fail to serve the life force shall find their skin at the foot of the bed. For this fish has a blade in its hand, and the chalice is already shattered, smashed upon the land. Life is spirit, not the order imposed upon it, nor the persistent squabbling of seagulls, rats, and roaches groveling in human form. Even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. Life is for joy, to emulate the children and engender smiles. The joy is in the reciprocation from one person to another, in forming trust and providing succor, in advantages given and freely returned, not for the withholding of water in the midst of a drought, not for withholding shelter in the midst of squalor, not for apologies for bad aim from 30,000 feet. The value of a man is in the goodness he spreads, and the measure of his goodness will be taken in 1,000 years. 1,000 years from now, another fish, now crawling, will fly. And as it does so, it will cry out in no uncertain terms, love. And then prove love. For that is your task here on this planet. Nothing else is asked of you. Heaven is only a dream, and we, our own angels. Do not wait for heaven, for it's ephemeral, a mirage. You've imagined it, but bring heaven on down here where we can use it, where you and your children need it and can make it real. So, pull together, same direction. Make peace, prove love. I'm going back to my cave way below. I got time to conjure the overthrow. Time is my ally to prove love. I got till fish fly. The end.
This ends Mystic Babylon Open Mic Poetry Podcast. I hope you can come back in 2 weeks. Thank you very much.
This podcast is a member of the Association of Poetry Podcasting at poetrypodcasting.org.